Welcome to the Kindred Church Podcast, where we talk about God, faith, and real life. This is Daniel Childs. I'm the host of the podcast and the pastor of Kindred Church. To learn more about how to connect with our community, check out our website at www.kindrednc.church. You can also follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. We're glad you've tuned in for today's episode. Now, let's talk about God. Well, those of you that are in one of our weekly small groups know this, but at all of our small group meetings, every time our groups get together, one of the questions that we ask each other is, how is your heart? How is your heart? You know, we often get so busy during the week and we're going, and oftentimes we forget to pause and reflect on the state of our hearts. And that's unfortunate because sometimes we miss the things that God is trying to put on our hearts. Sometimes we miss things that God is doing in our life. So it's an important question. And it's a question that I would ask you this morning. How is your heart? I don't know this for sure. I could be wrong. But my guess would be that for many of us, our hearts are feeling especially anxious right now because this is a really chaotic time that we're living through. Those of you that are students, those of you who work in education, I know we're coming up on this new academic year and it's just kind of impossible to know how these next few months are going to unfold, right? For those of you that work in healthcare, you're living with the constant uncertainty of how this pandemic is going to continue to affect the ways that you do your job. Those of you that are in other fields, you're worried about how is all this going to affect your business? How's it going to affect your job security? I know a few of you that have already unfortunately lost a job during this season and you're trying to figure out how to move forward after that. And of course, all of this is in addition to our concerns about our health and the health of people that we care about. And I could go on, but I'm not trying to send us into a full-blown panic attack here. My point is that understandably, a lot of us, myself included, are carrying a lot of extra anxiety right now. Well, for that reason, I think our ears should perk up when we hear this passage from Romans 5 that Minoka read for us a few minutes ago, because this is a passage that's telling us about peace. And it's telling us about a kind of peace that we can find in any and all circumstances, no matter how stressful, no matter how challenging those circumstances might be, even circumstances like the ones we find ourselves in right now. As we listen to the public health experts and other medical leaders, one of the things that they're telling us is that, unfortunately, this pandemic is not going to end tomorrow, right? It's not going to end next week, probably not even next month. We don't know how long all this is going to last. We don't know what things are going to look like when all of this is over. And so the truth is that if we're waiting to have peace in our heart until our circumstances change, if we're waiting to have peace in our heart until things get back to normal, we could be waiting a while. So when we hear Scripture telling us about this kind of peace that we don't have to wait for, when we hear Scripture telling us about this kind of peace that's not dependent on our circumstances, I really think we should pay attention to this, because if we can find true peace right now in the midst of everything that's going on, that could be life-saving for us, right? Or at least life-changing, life-improving for us as we're navigating the weeks and months ahead. So that kind of peace, that's what I want us to talk about this morning. As many of you know, we are in week three now of our sermon series called Embraced, Responding to God's Love. We believe that God's love is completely unconditional. No buts, no asterisks. And because God loves us so much, God calls us to respond. You know, God wants to be in an active relationship with us. God wants us to actively follow Jesus with our entire lives. And we can't really do that unless we respond to God. So in this four-week sermon series, we're looking at a few passages from the book of Romans, and we're thinking together about a few of the ways that God calls us to respond. Now for today, here's the big insight that I want us to explore. That one of the ways that we're called to respond to God is by cultivating confidence in God's commitment to us. Cultivating confidence in God's commitment to us. And as our confidence in God grows, we can find this deeper, more abiding sense of peace, no matter what the circumstances, even in a crazy time like the year 2020. So let's unpack this for a bit. And to help us out, let's look at this passage from Romans 5. Now, just a quick bit of background here. As some of you know, Romans is a book of the Bible, and it's actually a letter. It was written by a pastor named Paul back in the first century. And in this particular passage, Paul is writing to us about this kind of peace that we can find in any and all circumstances. And what we need to remember is that Paul is a guy who really knew what he was talking about. And he knew it from personal experience. By the time Paul wrote this letter to the church in Rome, this is towards the end of his life, and by this point he has gone through hardships like many of us can only imagine. He's gone through hardships that make many of our hardships kind of look like child's play, actually. And I know some of you guys know Paul's story, but as a young man, Paul was actually an enemy of the church. And this was back when Christianity was just brand new, and Paul was a Jewish leader at the time, and he was working to nip Christianity in the bud, namely by having Christians executed. And then one day, kind of out of nowhere, Jesus shows up and just hijacks Paul's life. Some of us could probably tell stories about Jesus hijacking our life at different points. Jesus appears and he confronts Paul. And in a wild plot twist, Jesus actually commissions Paul to go and be a church planter, to go and be a pastor. And that's what Paul does. He spends the rest of his life traveling around the Mediterranean world, starting new churches in all these different cities. Well, as I've learned myself over the last couple of years, being a church planter is not exactly a walk in the park. And it was a whole lot harder back in Paul's day than it is now. Just about everywhere that Paul went, he faced opposition. He faced hostility, even violence in many cases. In one of Paul's other letters, he actually lists some of the hardships that he had been through. And he says, I've been imprisoned. He says, I've been beaten more times than I can count. I've faced death many times. He says, I was whipped 5 times. I was beaten with rods 3 times. I was stoned once, not stoned like, stoned. I was shipwrecked 3 times. He says, I spent a day and a night adrift on the open sea. I faced dangers from rivers and robbers, he said, in the city, in the desert, on the sea. He says, I spent many sleepless nights with hunger and thirst, often out in the cold, he says, without enough clothes. And he goes on, but you get the point. My point is that Paul is a guy who is well acquainted with anxiety and uncertainty and challenges. And so when he starts talking to us here in Romans 5 about this peace that we can have in any and all circumstances, he's not just giving us some abstract theory, right? This is not some ivory tower theological mumbo jumbo, but this is tried and true. So let's look at what Paul actually writes about all of this. This is Romans 5, verse 1. He says, therefore, since we have been made righteous, that is, since we have been justified through the faithfulness of Jesus, we have peace, he says. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Paul is telling us that as Christians, our peace comes not from our circumstances. Our peace comes not from the absence of hardships in our life, but our peace comes from God's commitment to us. Don't miss that. Our peace comes from God's commitment to us. And God's commitment is steadfast. God's commitment is completely unwavering. As Paul expands on this later in the passage, he says, look, think about what God has already done for you and for me. God in Jesus Christ has already come all the way into this world as a human being to be with us and to save us and to raise us up. God in Jesus Christ has already loved us so much that he went to the cross. He entered into our suffering. He entered into our mortality even. God has literally invested God's own blood, sweat, and tears into us to lead us into God's new creation where there is no more death or suffering or sickness or anxiety. And God didn't have to do all of that for us, but God chose to do all of that for us. And God did it because that's how deeply God is committed to us. So Paul's point here is, hey, look, if God has already done all of that for us, Do you really think that God is going to abandon us now? If God has already shown us how much he loved us in this way, do you really think God is going to let our current circumstances get the last word? Paul says, heck no. Actually, he says it stronger than that. That's the PG translation. Heck no, Paul says. A God who goes to the cross for us is a God who is never, ever, ever going to let us go. God has already shown us beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is all in. So, when we can remember God's commitment, when we can put our hope and our trust in God's commitment to us, that's when we can find this peace, this sense of deep abiding peace that is accessible to us no matter what's going on around us, no matter what's happening to us, and as our confidence in God grows, that sense of peace also grows. Paul's speaking from experience. And he's saying, hey, this has sustained me through the greatest challenges of my life. And this can sustain you through the greatest challenges of your life as well. Well, now I know at this point, some of you are thinking, okay, all of this sounds great, growing in confidence in God's commitment to us. And yes, but how do we do this? Make it practical, right? What are the steps that we need to take to find this peace? Well, Paul actually hints at this, I think, in verse 5 here. And here's what Paul says. This is Romans 5, verse 5. This hope, he's talking about the hope of God's commitment to us, this hope doesn't put us to shame. In other words, it's not false hope. It doesn't let us down because, he says, the love of God has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. The love of God has been poured into our hearts. This is what I think Paul means. He's saying, you want to find this deep, abiding sense of peace? Here's a good first step. Pay attention. Pay attention to the love of God. Pay attention to the love of God as you discover it, as you experience it in your own heart and life. Pay attention to the love of God as you see it unfolding in the world around you in different ways. Because every time you see the love of God, that is not God just doing some random act of kindness, but that's one of the ways that God is reminding you, hey, I'm still here. I'm right here with you. I'm in it right next to you. I am here and my promises to you still stand, and I am just as committed to you as ever. So when we pay attention to the love of God in our lives, and in particular, when we make it a habit to pay attention to the love of God in our lives, our confidence in God grows, and we get a deeper sense of peace as a result. So I wonder, what are those habits in your life? What are those habits that keep you paying attention to the love of God? Because it's so easy to get distracted. It's so easy to get sidetracked. We have so much going on in our lives. We need to be intentional about this. You know, this is one reason that we come together for weekly worship like we're doing right now. And there's so many other ways that we could be spending our time, right? But we carve out this little portion of our week to come together, even in this digital way, to come together and to celebrate God's love and to remember what it means for our lives and to sing to God and to talk to God. This is one of the reasons that we have our Kindred Spotlight moment in worship each week. Because as we listen to the testimonies of other real people in our own community who are saying, hey, look, this is how I've seen the love of God recently, all of that becomes a reminder to us that, hey, God is right here. God is in it with us. God is leading us and guiding us. God's commitment to us still stands. And of course, weekly worship is just one of the habits that we can develop. You know, daily prayer can help us pay attention to the love of God. Joining a small group can help with this. Participating in mission projects can help with this. As we're intentional, as we make it a habit over time to pay attention to God's love, our confidence in God grows. And as that confidence grows, we find a deeper sense of peace. So now as we think about all of this, I wonder if there's a new habit that God is calling you to focus on in this season of life. Or maybe it's not a new habit. Maybe it's an old habit that's been neglected. But I wonder if there's a particular new thing that you feel like God may be calling you to do in this season. Maybe it's participating in worship every week if you're not doing that already. Maybe it is taking up the practice of daily prayer if that's not already part of your life. Maybe it's checking out a small group so that you can have a community around you to help you to pay attention to the love of God, or participating in a mission project. What habit is God calling you to focus on in this season? If you want to talk about this with me one-on-one, I would love to talk with you about this. What habit is God calling you to focus on? I'd encourage you not to put that question on the back burner, because I'm afraid it'll just stay on the back burner, but really give some thought to this. Give some prayer to this. Because the reality is, this is not an easy time that we are living through, right? And we don't know when all of this is going to end, but what we do know is that if we can continue to pay attention to God's love, if we can receive those signs of God's love as a reminder of God's commitment to us, then we can find a sense of peace no matter what happens in these next weeks and months. No matter what, we can find peace. Let me pray for us. Oh Lord, we are living through this chaotic time, this very stressful, challenging time. It's pushing us out of our comfort zones in so many ways, God. And now as much as ever, we need the peace that can only come from you. So we ask you to open our hearts. We ask you to open our minds so that we can see all the ways that your love is continuing to be poured out into our hearts, into the world around us. And God, every time we recognize that, Lord, help us to remember your commitment to us, that commitment still stands. Help us to assist one another in this community, to point out signs of God's love to each other, so that together we can grow in confidence in your commitment to us, and so that together we can continue to find peace. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Kindred Church Podcast. If this episode was meaningful to you, consider sharing it with a friend who might also enjoy it. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast here and give us a rating that helps us connect with more listeners. This free resource and all of Kindred's ministries are supported by the generosity of people like you. Your giving changes lives, and it helps us to share and embody God's love. If you'd like to make a donation, you can do so on our website at www.kindrednc.church. Just select Give. You can find lots of ways to connect with our community on our website, as well as on our social media pages. Thanks again for listening, and we will catch you next time.